the Toledos?
Isabel Toledo is not quite a household name, but thanks to a dress she designed for Michelle Obama in 2009, with a long yellow coat embroidered with intricate lace, she quickly became one of the most sought-after designers in the business. A while after that big first lady at the inauguration moment, I visited Toledo in her New York studio. It's in this great old 19th century building. She shares the space with her husband and professional partner, the fashion illustrator Ruben Toledo.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Kurt.
Hey, Kurt. How are you?
Good to meet you.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
I can't believe we never crossed paths.
I know.
But you listen to all the interviews.
I do.
They've been working here for a couple of decades. It's 9 floors above Broadway and filled with light.
This is our world. It's the Toledo world. And we pretty much do everything in this space. We live, we work, we have about 4 floors. This is mostly my studio. Upstairs is Ruben's painting studio. Downstairs is production. And there's a cutting floor. It's the old dream, the American dream of doing it yourself.
I mean, it is a kind of wonderful, old-fashioned, artisanal dream to have everything under one roof. Is there any downside to that? Does it ever feel claustrophobic?
I mean, we don't live here anymore, I have to say. We lived here for about 15. We finally were able to get our space outside.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, that's how I feel. No, it's actually good because everything comes through here. And it's interesting because even Broadway, the direction of Broadway, everything is focused into this building. I mean, look at the angles of the building. It's like an arrow. And the energy comes right into this space.
So it's your own personal Cuban feng shui or something?
And you got it. And it feels good.
So you have been a designer since the 1980s and considered this designer's designer. And then 3 years ago, the wider world suddenly heard of you when you were hired by Michelle Obama to design what she would wear to her inauguration, her husband's inauguration.
It's incredible. That was a beautiful gift.
How did that happen?
She actually was a customer before. I was not hired, but I was asked to present a design for this moment. And she obviously likes my work. She's always felt that it's something she can wear, and she liked what I do. And I proposed a few different garments, and she chose one of them.
So did you think of it? I mean, given that the inauguration of any president is a piece of theater, did you think of it like that? Like this is a costume for a character in this national pageant rather than just a dress and a coat?
Yes, I did. But I thought of it as a character in a painting. And I recognized what was going to be standing behind her, which was black, blue, red. And I wanted to figure out what could I dress her in, what color. It was all about the color for me. What could I dress her on that she can pop out and she can carry the emotion that the whole country was feeling, which was that optimism. I think,
and the color you chose was?
The lemongrass, which is what I called it.
You were born in Cuba and lived there until you were 8?
8 years old.
I came here in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. Were there things about your youth that sort of set you on this path?
That would set me on this path, not knowing the path, yes. The fact that I come from a large family of women. My mother had sisters, 15 of them. So I always had women around me, and the characters were something that I always found interesting, and how they all expressed themselves differently was something that I enjoyed. I imagine that's part of what makes me feel comfortable around all the role-playing that it takes to dress women.
Unlike most famous fashion designers, you aren't owned by a big multi-billion-dollar company. It's just you and your
husband
and your employees. As I say, this very old-fashioned artisanal sort of approach. Other than not having a boss, what does operating in this way, which is now unusual, let you do as a designer that you couldn't otherwise?
Well, it pushes the creativity a little further. It has to be practical. It has to be marketable.
Right.
It has to be bought. A woman has to want to pay the price, and I don't have a market team behind me. I mean, I really feel that it's important that the woman connects to the garment and wants to own it forever and give it to her daughter after that. And they're not cheap.
Give me an idea. What do your clothes cost?
Probably from $800 to $10,000.
And actually, I was expecting some bigger, more shocking, eye-popping price.
No, because I don't have marketing.
Yeah.
So everything goes right back into the product.
So how does it work?
You were, I guess, driven by the season, spring, fall schedule and resort wear and all that stuff. You know the deadlines, but then how do you begin designing the shmatas for that deadline?
Those shmatas are being designed day and night. First of all, I dress myself. So I'm experiencing what it is to wear what I make. It's not just the season. It literally is all the time, nonstop. I am thinking construction. I am thinking design, texture, emotion. That is what I do constantly.
That's, and then you say, oh, I kind of see it like this. And, oh, Ruben, I happen to be married to this artist. You draw it for me?
Lucky me. I probably will discuss how it anchors on my body, or I'll take the fabric and drape it around me. And then he mimics and he puts it on paper. When he draws, I always say that it's his heart and his hand at work. He doesn't process. It doesn't go through his mind. He really does connect heart and hand.
Well, let's go find him, and maybe you can show me around a little bit.
Very good. Let's do that.
So I see a sewing machine, an old sewing machine, or there's a new sewing machine.
Well, there's pretty much everything. This
so
is my studio.
Here?
This
really?
Is mostly where I play, let's call it that. I'll either play with garments, you know, draping. I'll do some sewing.
It's where experiments happen, so this is why you got
to...
it's a laboratory, exactly.
Yeah. And I picked it up for you, by the way. It's nice and neat.
There's a man following us now. I guess
yes,
you should
have you noticed?
You should introduce me formally.
And this is my husband, Ruben
Sir.
Toledo.
Good to meet you.
Good
How long has this been going on?
Oh, well, a few words.
I see.
So these are these paper things hanging from racks are...
These are patterns. We have 4 floors worth of patterns. These are patterns going back to 1984 or before that. And some of them are just prototype patterns that we reuse and reuse and remorph into something else.
I feel like they should be in some climate-controlled thing so they don't yellow.
No, we like them to grow warts and bumps and everything. That makes a new thing happen, you know?
So these dresses on...
Pretty much all prototypes. At this point, this is a design that was done maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I pulled it out to make it a little different because I wanted to experiment with another technique.
And I would describe that in my stupid, non-fashiony way, but you described that for me.
Oh, the starburst.
We want to hear your version of describing
it. It's a party dress. It's a bluish party dress made of many layers of...
Tulle.
I was going to say tulle.
Very good.
With a lot of white dots that could be confetti. Covering it in sort of quasi-random pattern.
It is a party dress, but it really is right now a prototype.
Meaning it's not finished.
It is not finished. No, and it's also just an idea for now. Usually it might get...
Well, that's an idea with a lot of detail.
Yes, well, that's how ideas are born. You know, you add all the details and you create a product.
Are there just fabric catalogs and I say, oh, that looks good, I'll buy a few yards of that? Or how does that work?
No, fabric mills are specialized things, you know. That's what used to be called the rag trade. They really control fashion. They invent cloth and they want designers to use them, so they come calling on you.
Oh, really?
To say, look at our new inventions. Nowadays, it used to be Americans were part of that game, but nowadays those fabrics come from France, Switzerland, Germany, almost anywhere but here.
Huh. And in that, so they really want...
Oh, yes.
Isabel,
yes. Because, in fact, I experiment a lot with their fabrics, and they are constantly looking at what I do to show my quality to someone else so that they are interested in buying their fabrics.
And, in fact, as part of the feeding that happens in fashion, what she invents now, we'll see 3 and 4 years later, they're doing that technique, but now en masse, offered done this way already.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So we keep moving on, and they keep following afterwards, and it's all a
circle.
It is.
But it must be nice, since a lot of your life is selling, to be the buyer sometimes, to be the person who they're sucking up to and trying to get to use their fabrics.
We're not buyers ourselves. We're makers. There's a real difference there. You know what I mean? Like I think we see ourselves that way, not one or the other. Right. I think you're makers.
Right. How many hundreds of dresses do you make a year?
100? 100?
Yeah,
more.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why we almost consider them prototypes. 100 of these girls go out into the world.
Wow.
And encounter clients, you know?
But that must, for buyers, for clients, that must feel good to know that there are so few, that it's this limited edition thing,
I imagine it is, because that's why you could call it luxury in that sense, because remember, each one is made by hand,
I think you can call it luxury.
You think so?
Ruben, yes.
Yeah. I don't think it's an elitist thing. I think that's why we go to movies, or that's why we listen to music, or that's why we read a book, or look at a painting, right? Sometimes you got to possess it, and sometimes you can just look at it. That's why, it's funny, fashion is this, you don't have to spend a penny to enjoy fashion. You just look at a beautiful woman wearing a beautiful design and you have just enjoyed fashion, right? And you didn't spend a penny. That's the beauty
of it. Now I know why I live in New York City.
You got it. You got it.
If somebody wants to become your client, do they apply? Well, how does that work?
Good question. That's a tough one because I tend to, since I work through the stores, they come to the
collection. Barney's,
I do Nordstrom. And in fact, having to sell it now takes away from the time I like to spend making it. So I have a great relationship with the stores because they get my work out there.
Yeah. Well, and thanks for taking the time away from making it to talk to me.
It's a pleasure. Can't wait to know how I'm going to be inspired. Ruben, do you want to say thank you?
Oh, thanks, Ruben.
You, sir. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure.
That was the designer Isabel Toledo and her husband and collaborator Ruben Toledo. You can see some pictures of my visit to their atelier at studio360.org.